This is Bump, Baby and Beyond with Emma's Diary.
This podcast is in association with Joy, the car seat experts and number one brand for all your at-home baby needs. Hi everyone, it's Holly from Pretty Big Butterflies and Holly Plus, and you're listening to Bump, Baby and Beyond with Emma's Diary. Today I'm joined by Joy's resident car seat expert, Damon Marriott, who is going to help us navigate and understand the crazy and often confusing world of car seats. Damon is head of product development at Joy, the car seat experts, and has been working in the baby gear industry for more than 25 years. And during this time, he's been advising local authorities, the police, road safety, and trading standards on safe and legal car seat use and installation. So he definitely knows his stuff. Welcome, Damon. It's so lovely to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
I must admit, I'm a little bit embarrassed about this, but I have two little ones. One's two and one's three. And I'm still a bit confused about car seats. So I'm really excited to be talking to you today.
Yeah, it's a daunting world and we can never be too safe. So hopefully I can answer some of those grey areas that you're currently worrying about.
Oh, I hope so, because it can be so hard to know who to ask when you have questions, because especially when you're a new parent, you feel like, you know, you do all this reading online and you try and find out the best things for your little ones. But when it comes to something as important as car seats, it can be really hard to know who to ask. So I have a ton of questions for you today.
Far away. Whenever you're ready, we'll try and sort those out for you.
I have to say, the first thing that I've never really understood is the benefits of rear-facing car seats. So is it really better to have your child in a rear-facing car seat for longer?
Yes, the advantage of rear-facing is for the child occupant, of course. When a child is forward-facing, the big problem comes in the weight of the child's head. So even in fairly low speed impacts, the weight of the head is pulling forwards, causing potential serious injuries to the neck. So whilst rearwards facing, the advantage comes that the child's effective neck is supported, i.e. the head is, of course, resting against the seat. So in a collision, all that energy is dispersed straight into the shell. So you're reducing force onto the child's neck. So, you know, it does give us huge advantages from the safety and also, of course, the common sort of things with rearwards facing as to why people would move beyond rear facing a little bit too early always used to be the fact that infant carriers were too heavy when the child was in it. So people were tempted.
I can relate to that.
Yeah. After about 3 months, you don't want to carry them far. So people almost rush them out of that a little bit too fast for the simple fact that the child was heavy. So big improvements coming with some of the legislation that I'm sure I can talk you through as well at some point.
Yeah, of course. And I think I remember when I first had my baby, that I always used to worry that they just were just looking at the seat and that they couldn't, you know, they couldn't move their legs and they just couldn't see anything. But am I right in saying that actually they can see more if they're rear facing?
Yeah, one of the sort of myths with rear facing, which is another reason why people will turn them forward sometimes too early, is, well, my child's legs won't fit. Actually, they really do. You know, my own daughter, she's now seven, but she rearward faced till four and was a good example of a live child being in there who never mentioned her legs at all. You know, saying, oh, daddy, this is uncomfortable, or where can I put my legs? That's us as the parents' misconception, thinking, well, I can't bend my legs and sit there, so it must be uncomfy for the child. But the best thing I could really say to any parent is let the child talk to you. You know, if their legs are genuinely uncomfortable, they will become vocal from around 2 years. So we'll certainly let you know.
And yeah, very true. Very true.
And as you said about visibility, you know, the visibility rearwards facing, they can see, of course, generally out the back windows as well as the sides. But if we add a simple thing like a mirror, which will generally fit onto the headrest of the seat in the rear, that allows the child actually via the mirror the visibility to see forward, so they can actually see out the windscreen, but also see the rear view mirror. so they can actually see the parent driving. And of course, the parent can glance in the rearview mirror, reflect off the mirror in the back to see their child as well. So the visibility of the child is enhanced. They get to see forwards and backwards, and the parent can, of course, see the child as well.
And I know as a new parent, and even now when I'm looking for a new car seat, or I had a new car recently and we had to get a new car seat and things, mm-hmm. I did a lot of looking online. And I know a lot comes up about, you know, crash test results and how that equates to safety and that kind of thing. But sometimes it just feels like it's all a little bit confusing. So what are crash test results? Kind of what happens during those crash tests? And when you're a parent, what should we be looking out for when we buy a new car seat?
Okay, so something that gets misunderstood a lot really is the speed of the crash test itself. So we hear, and you can very quickly, you know, do a search and see, oh, you know, car seats for R44 or R129, which is the latest ICE standard, they're only tested at 30 miles an hour. So you're suddenly doubting yourself, thinking, well, I travel on A roads at 60, I travel on motorways at 70, you know, so 30 mile an hour for a crash test surely can't be safe. But the thing that isn't really communicated very well out in the market is how severe a crash it is at 30. So the speed of the sled as it flies down its little rails is, of course, a velocity of 30 miles an hour. But it's the stopping distance that's important. And with the crash test that all seats have to go through to be certified and legal to be sold throughout Europe and UK's roads, the stopping distance is very severe. So in reality, it's more like a collision at 60 to 70 miles an hour because, you know, of course, vehicles have got energy absorption built into the shells of the vehicles themselves. And with a dynamic crash test that the car seats are certified to, it's effectively hitting a tree with basically no crumple zone whatsoever. So very severe collision.
Mm. Yeah, so it's just hard to know, isn't it? Because when you kind of see that 30 miles an hour, it's a bit like, okay, so should I just not drive at all? Yeah. What do I do now? Because it does, I think, you know, it can be a bit of an anxious time when you become a new parent anyway, mm-hmm. let alone having to try and digest all this information. So it's quite interesting to know how it, that bit kind of works.
Yeah, and the thing with, you know, good brands like ourselves and other leading brands, we don't just test to the standard. So legally, to pass a seat and certify, we have to do the 30 miles an hour. But within development, we test in what we class our extreme testing protocol. So all of our seats go through a 40 mile an hour testing protocol. We have side impact crash tests on all seats, again, above and beyond what is the legal minimum requirement, so that we can develop our seats to be the best they possibly can, whereas the standards are set so that there is a minimum, of course. So there is big improvements out there that are hidden behind the scenes with the reputable brands.
And it is reassuring to know, I think, that, you know, there is this kind of this basic standard that's set, but to know that brands like Joy kind of do go above and beyond, I think is really reassuring for parents to know, because, you know, a car seat is such an important thing. It can be so hard to decide on what one to buy, which one's the right one for you. So just knowing they've gone through these extra tests, I think is just really reassuring for parents to know.
Yeah, the thing with Joy as a brand, we are UK government certified as well. So, you know, we have a crash test facility that is what's classed as VCA, which is a UK governing body. It's certified by them, so it's a UK certified lab. And basically, the German labs and the English labs are the two toughest at interpreting the actual standard itself. So as with any kind of written standard, there's always some variation as how somebody would interpret the written words. But the UK and German labs are the two toughest with regards to that. And for crash test results, there is a German organisation which basically do independent tests. So they effectively created their own protocols, and that's generally known as ADAC, ADAC, German Automobile Organisation, and which and other countries throughout Europe use those results to effectively try and give an independent view on how a seat would be both crashed and the performance, but also the handling and use of it, i.e. the parent fitting the children in and out of it on a daily basis. So that is another set of results that parents can have a look at and effectively get extra reassurance that the seat they're looking at is super safe.
Yeah, I love that because, like I said, it's just, you know, it can be confusing and safety is obviously everyone's top priority. So I feel like this is a really good time to move on to something which absolutely baffled me when I became a parent. And I was like, what is this word? What does it mean? So let's talk about ISOFIX, which I feel slightly at ease now with as my little ones are a little bit older. We've had a couple of cars, but I have to admit when I wondered, was it a different language? I literally, because my parents never drove. And so I haven't come from a background where I've had lots of cars and lots of car seats in my life. So it was brand new to me, literally brand new. So would you mind telling us what is ISOFIX and how does it work?
Yeah, I'll give you a quick little bit of background behind it as well. So ISOFIX was first introduced in a VW Golf back in 1997, so many, many years ago now.
I actually had a Golf and I remember reading something which said that ISOFIX is perfect for a Golf, and that made me feel happy straight away.
Yeah. originally, it came out because whenever we do the road safety checks, etc., you know, stopping the general public, we used to find at least 90% were incorrectly fitted. So the invention of ISOFIX was creating a universal fitting system, and that is part of where the name comes from. The ISOFIX, you know, is an international standard fixing, basically. So that was something that the vehicle manufacturers were obliged then to start fitting into the cars. And of course, it's voluntary to start with, as with every standard, you know, and much like we see on the car seat standards, an old and a new run sort of side by side for a while until the old one goes. So ISOFIX was originally voluntary, and say Golf started back in 97, but by 2006 it then became law that every new car must have ISOFIX fitted into it. So it was,
oh really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's basically any newly designed car had to have it from 2006. But one, again, grey area that was there at the time was that if it was a facelift, so if the chassis effectively was the same thing and they were just doing cosmetic changes, then they didn't have to spend the extra cash to redevelop the chassis until 2012. So basically from 2012 onwards, you are 100% guaranteed your vehicle has got ISOFIX or ICE fixings in the car. And simply all that is a 6mm metal bar, you know, and that fixes is located in a set place, and ISOFIX guarantees, or rather the car manufacturer guarantees, that certain size seats can fit in their vehicle, which the information is found in the handbook, and they have size classes. So you'll find A, B, C, D, etc. in the handbook. All car seats also, of course, are governed by this size class. So you can always check on your car seat and that will say it's an ISOFIX B or D, etc. And that helps then to give more transparency to the fact that, yes, this seat will fit the car. Now,
Can I just clarify that for my, because I'm very interested in this ISOFIX stuff. Mm-hmm. So once you actually realise where the ISOFIX is in your car, because it took me a little while, but once you found it, you wonder how you actually missed it. it's like been there the whole time. Yeah. And so some car seats, so sometimes they'll be different sizes. Is that right? What you're saying is the ISOFIX in the car might be different sizes.
Well, the ISOFIX fixings themselves are standardised. But what you get is, whether it's a rear-facing seat or a forward-facing seat, of course, they're different shapes and sizes. So a car seat manufacturer has to make sure that their car seat fits into one of these boxes almost. And the car manufacturer almost has to check that that box will fit in their car. And then the car manufacturer can say, OK, a box A, B, C, D, E, F, etc. will fit in this car using ISOFIX. So, of course, they put it in the handbook. And as a car seat manufacturer, we're, of course, making a seat fit within the confines of a particular size box. And thus, then, the two sort of meet together in between. Now, there is a change to ISOFIX. So we have now a new term, which is still the same fixing system, but it's now known as ICE. these. So some users, or yourself maybe included, may have a newer vehicle that has ice seating rather than just ISOFIX. And that further enhances the fitment of child restraints into the cars by guaranteeing a couple of extra points like structural floor, etc. So a few extra improvements over the last couple of decades that ISOFIX has been around to further improve fitment for the end user.
Amazing. So then how does ISOFIX actually work? So is it, so it's where the, I mean, you can probably explain it 100 million times better than I can, but it's okay. It's basically where the car seat attaches to the car, isn't it, in a way?
Yeah, so the car, I say, has got these two little metal bars, generally positioned effectively where the back and the base meet together. So in some cars, they have a little flap already built in. In others, you'd need to part the fabric to see those bars. And the car seat has just got connectors that will simply and quickly clip onto those metal bars. So it takes literally a second to install and has indicators. So, of course, red means it isn't connected. Green means it's clicked in and good to go. And then we do require generally a third fixing point. So there's two at the lower point. And then some car seats will have what's called a top tether, and others will have a support leg or load leg that goes down to the floor of the car. And that helps stop any extra rotation in the event of a collision.
So is there something to do with children's weight when it comes to an ISOFIX system? Does it have a maximum weight of the child and before it becomes unsafe or anything like that?
Yeah, so the car manufacturers can only almost guarantee the structural integrity of those fixing points up to a combined weight for both the child and the seat itself of 33 kilograms. So generally, if we're looking at an ISOFIX rotating seat, you'll be around about 15 kilos for the seat itself, plus then the weight of the child going inside of it at 18 kilos, of course, brings you up to 33 kilos, which is your sort of maximum capacity for the ISOFIX fixing itself. So whereas the new standard that's come through does allow some variations in the occupant weight, your 33 kilos is always the absolute upper weight that the child and seat can go up to.
Because it's quite interesting, because I guess whenever you're choosing a car seat from somewhere like Joy, for example, they do quote weight limits. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, obviously, as parents, we're supposed to take these all on board. But sometimes it's just easy to not forget, but you don't keep checking, do you? Or you read it the first time when you first get the car seat and you're like, right, yeah, OK, so, you know, that's in 6 months' time. And it's just easy to forget, isn't it? So I suppose with things like that, you should keep checking your paperwork, or keep checking what's on the car seat, just, and keep weighing your child just to make sure that they don't kind of go over that weight.
Yeah, the class system, you know, the R44 was based on weight classes. So you got your little infant carriers, they're up to 13 kilos. And to be quite honest, very few people would ever keep a child in till that maximum weight, simply for as we discussed earlier, the carrying capability or lack of, because they're so heavy. But it's more the next stage. So when you get in towards that 3-4 year old child, then you could have a child that is getting towards that upper weight limit. So certainly around 3-4, it's worthwhile just double checking the little one's weight, because suddenly they do creep up there.
I'm going to check mine this afternoon now. I have a 3.5 year old, so I'm literally making a note as we talk. Check car seat, check weight.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll do that this afternoon.
It's always good to obviously be able to, say, pop to the doctors and have an incredibly accurate weight. But certainly if you've got home scales, you know, if the child will stand there, great. But otherwise, you know, weigh yourself, then get on again holding the child, and it will give you a good ballpark figure to understand whether you are getting pretty close or not.
As a mummy to two, I know how important it is to find the right car seat for your new baby. Our friends at Joy are the leading manufacturer when it comes to creating stylish, safe, trustworthy, and affordable products. I know earlier on you mentioned the 360 spin car seat, mm-hmm. and I know that Joy have have a 360 car seat. And by the way, I have to say it looks amazing. I had a bit of envy, parenting envy, the other day when I took my little one to, well, nursery straight preschool, and a woman got her child out of this spin car seat and it looked completely effortless. And I kind of was like, yeah, we need to get one of those. You know, I was like, forget everything else. I'm getting like envy, parenting envy over a car seat, which I never thought would happen, but it did.
Yeah.
So what actually, other than obviously being able to move from what I saw, what does the 360 spin car seat actually mean? And are there any benefits of having one like that?
Yeah, for me personally, I am a huge advocate of a rotating seat, and not for the child's benefit. I'm being totally selfish as a parent. It's all about the parent or user of the car seat itself. So loading the children in when it's a static seat, so if it doesn't rotate, you're having to lift the child up and over the sides of the seat to get them in there. Versus the rotating, if you're in a five-door car, of course, the huge benefit is you can rotate towards you, so the child's facing you. You're not having to lift them up and over the side of the seat shell anymore. You can simply just take them straight in and out. And the advantage of that comes when the child is, say, like two and a half and older, is they're very heavy, you know. So if it's a static seat, you're having to almost have your arms out to arm's length to load the child in, and trying to avoid banging the little one's head on the roof as you do so. So when you've got the rotation, it's facing towards you, you're able to almost literally just pick the child up with your back straight when the child's asleep. And my daughter was an absolute cracker for that. As soon as she started to recognise the surroundings, she knew she was getting close to home, she would pretend to be asleep so daddy would carry her into the house. So yeah, you know, that happened all the way through till 3-4 years old. So you know, my back would not have survived as long as it did if I didn't have the rotating seat. But other advantages, of course, comes in the fact that we've not always got the ability to park with a great amount of space, or we may, for example, like I did once, couldn't get a parent bay in the supermarket. Parked quite a long way from the door, you know, with plenty of spaces around me. But I came back and the white van man had pulled right up close to the side where the car seat was fitted.
That really does make me very angry.
Yeah, but
when that happens, it's just like, ah.
Just unfortunate. Yeah, he didn't know I got a car seat in. He'd done the same because of a big vehicle. But the spin seat allowed me to rotate it to face the other door and literally just clamber over the seat to load her in. So a little bit more awkward, but certainly much, much easier than if it was a fixed static seat. There are plenty of advantages, you know, like that and other things. You know, of course, if we are using that rearwards facing for longer, then the spin models that we do in our range, the Spin 360 and the iSpin 360, both of those are a single button to rotate to forward face. So for people that have a three-door car or two-door car, whichever you'd like to call it, to extended rear face with a fixed seat is pretty much impossible. You just can't almost load the child in. But I was that impractical dad. I had a two-door coupe when baby was born and I didn't want to let it go. So by having the rotation seat, I could spin the seat to face me, as of course you're coming in via the front door, front loader, and then just spin her straight around to rearwards face. And other little advantages over the years that I learned was, you know, not taking her out if my partner was popping in a shop for 10 minutes. I only made that mistake once, took her out, and we had an absolute nightmare getting her back in because she'd had a taste of freedom. Thereafter, I'd just rotate her around. She could see me. We could chat. When my partner came back, just spin her straight back around and off we'd go without any drama.
It's pretty incredible, really. I'm literally sitting here thinking, I need to get one now. That is very, very apparent. And I wish I'd had one when my first child was born. And I guess a good thing to mention is, you know, it can be really expensive to get a new car. Sometimes, you know, you think, gosh, we need a new car now because we've got a baby. But having something like the 360 spin car seat could actually mean that you can stay in the car you have for longer, because that makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
And I think it would also be great for, you know, if your little one gets travel sickness, which we have had several times, where your little one, unfortunately, you know, vomits on themselves halfway through the journey. And instead of trying to get them out covered in sick, which then goes all over yourself, yeah. you just spin them towards you and make life so much easier.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definite advantages for sure.
Yeah, I didn't even realise the advantages until you've just mentioned them all. So it is quite interesting, isn't it, just how much easier your life could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the monetary cost, of course, everyone's got a budget, etc. But, you know, £200 for the Spin 360 to last potentially for 4 years. What we did to start with, we knew we'd buy one of those anyway, because, of course, I've been in the industry. So I had that in my car permanently to start with, and my partner's car, she had the infant carrier. So straight away, we got two cars capable of picking the little one up without sort of any extra expense, because eventually you'd buy something like the Spin anyway. So you can get a bit of extra advantage and use out of it by setting up it in a second car right from the off.
Yeah, it does make sense, doesn't it? Sometimes you have to just think about the long term, because your baby's going to grow quite quickly. And it's surprisingly, sometimes you think, oh, you know, we'll get, it doesn't have to be a car seat. It could be anything. You think you get it, it will last them 6 months to a year. That's fine. Then we'll just get a new one. And before you know it, they're like 18 months. And you're like, oh my goodness, we really need to get a new one. So sometimes it's worth taking that little bit of extra time, that little bit of extra effort and research, and maybe budget and getting something that will last you a little bit longer. I mean, that's definitely my advice for coming from, you know, as a parent to a new parent, mm-hmm. is sometimes it's worth a little bit more of an investment, I think.
It is. And the thing is, for a lot of parents as well, that we certainly see and I've experienced over the years, is, you know, when we get that newborn, you know, we're happy to spend, say, £200, you know, on an infant carrier and a base. And in reality, that will probably last us a year sort of maximum for most. The next stage seat, if we look at the Spin, £200 again, but it'll actually last you another 3 years, you know, up to roughly four. But it's when it comes to booster seats that the value or the purchasing power really drops. And sometimes people are almost aghast at spending £40 or £50. But the thing to bear in mind with boosters is they're the best value. You know, they'll last you for 6 or 7 years, but, you know, spending £40 or £50 gets you a good safe seat, but not necessarily the full luxuries that the child was used to before. Spending £100, and bearing in mind, again, it's lasting 6 or 7 years, you can get a reclining booster seat, you know, expanding width, etc., to get the comfort for little one, and again that convenience if they do drop to sleep. Going down that route, £500 for sort of 12 years of safety equipment, you know, it is less than £50 a year. You know, it's breaking that down monthly, of course, it's actually a cup of Costa coffee, for example, you know, and a Mars bar a month, and you've suddenly paid for your child restraints.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? When you break it down like that, it makes so much sense. It really does. And I know, you know, you mentioned about being in the car, using the car seat quite often. And I mentioned, unfortunately, travel sickness.
Yes.
When it comes to moving the child around or getting them out of the car. Mm-hmm. One question I do have relating to that is something I've always wondered, actually, and never fully been, you know, sure of the answer, is how long should a baby be in a car seat for if you're going on a long journey or something like that? What's the kind of rule for that?
There's almost no real hard and fast rule. The thing is, for a newborn baby, really, where there is a sort of general industry standard now, that you'd say less than 2 hours for a newborn child. Once they're that bit older, they are more developed with regards to their lungs, you know, their windpipe, etc., spine, etc. So on those, it's almost as long as you can make the journey before you've got to stop to feed them or change the nappy. So there are different seats out there that can be more of a benefit and a complement to different lifestyles. So, for example, the infant carriers say couple of hours absolute maximum, and that's generally because the child's angle in which they're sitting in some seats is almost bolt upright, you know, it's a 90 degree, so their stomach, their lung, their spine aren't developing particularly well. So if somebody is doing particularly long journeys from the off, you know, visiting parents or off on holidays, etc., then there are seats like the Joy Eye Level, which can give you the capability to effectively lie that child flat. So it's giving you more peace of mind and comfort that the child's in a good postural position for the car, as well as, of course, when we get to the end of our journey.
And I know you mentioned about, obviously, the 360 spin car seat is great and much easier for putting your baby in a car seat. But if you don't have one of them, what do you have any tips for putting a baby in a car seat safely? And I guess even in the spin car seat as well. But just generally, what are your kind of best safety tips?
The biggest trouble with regards to putting children in is if it's a fixed seat, of course, we're having to make quite an effort to get them over the side and into the seat. And that quite often leads to the child not sitting centrally in the seat. So if their body is further over to the left, for example, which is quite common, we tighten the harness, we check it's tight if we're doing so correctly, but the child is actually sitting skew-if, so one shoulder will be tighter than the other. During the journey, the child will, of course, move, centralise in the seat, and that'll actually lead to too loose a harness configuration then. So the best tip is, whether it's a rotating seat or a fixed seat, when you load the child in, just double check the sitting straight in the seat. And the best way is to just place your hands by the side of the child's body. And of course, if they're particularly small, you might need to use your fists, for example, you know, pop your fists either side to make sure that it's equal. As the child gets bigger, you can use two fingers, three fingers, etc. But again, just making sure the child's bottom is sitting centrally in the seat will help to ensure that the harness is going to be centrally tightened as you adjust it. Now, with regards to the tightness on the harness, it's a very, very quick and easy check. And just two fingers flat on the child's shoulder. If you can get your fingers underneath and make a loop, i.e. if you can lift your fingers up, it's too loose. If you can't get them under, it's probably a bit too tight, but too tight won't be actually detrimental to the child. Whereas too loose can, of course, be horrific in the event of a collision. So get into that routine, make the harness longer as you get the child out. Allows you to get the buckles out the way to get the little one out. And of course, the seat's ready for you to load the little one back in then. And it gets you into that routine of tightening the harness every single time. Because during the day, as you sure well know, the children can go through many, many outfits, whether that's through sick accidents or mud accidents or chocolate accidents, but you know, various different outfits throughout the day. So it's worthwhile getting into that good practice, a bit like checking your mirror before you pull off in the car. It becomes standard issue. If you get into that habit of lengthening the harness and tightening it each time, it helps to reduce one of the most common problems.
Yeah, and I think practice makes, well, almost perfect, doesn't it? And, you know, the more you get used to it, especially if you've got a new baby, and I think that, you know, they're so small, aren't they, when you first have a baby, mm-hmm. that, you know, you just almost feel a little bit scared of strapping them in, and is it too tight? And you almost mentally want it to be a little bit loose because you're scared that it's almost too tight. Mm-hmm. So the tip that you've just said about putting your two fingers in and, you know, kind of being able to make that loop, or whether it's too tight, I think is really, really helpful. And it's definitely something I'm going to do when I put my little one in his car seat.
Yeah, well, so I've obviously dealt with many other people's children for decades sort of thing. But when it came to getting my own daughter out of hospital, it was a half an hour procedure just getting her in the seat. You know, I pop her in, she starts crying, you pick her out, you put her back in once she's calmed down, she starts crying, you try and rock it, eventually got the harness on, etc. It was about half an hour, you know, and say dealing with other people's children was easy. But when it's your own and it's a new thing, it is a very traumatic experience in some ways because you don't want to do anything wrong. So trying to get those principles in place will certainly make life much, much easier. And that for me is one of the advantages of having that infant carrier for a newborn versus having a fixed seat like the spin or other ones that are capable of going from birth. But the thing to always bear in mind there is with a fixed seat, you're doing all that half an hour of loading out at the car, could be raining, could be dark, could be cold, etc. Versus the infant carrier for the newborn, you can go through all the palaver of getting the little one in, properly restrained, in the comfort of your own home, etc. before you make that transition outside into the elements.
Yeah, of course. And I guess the only other thing to mention is that even with all this amazing advice that you've given us, is to still make sure you follow the manual for your installation of your car seat. And like you said, which has been a great reminder, to make sure you check the weight limits and things like that whenever you get a new car seat, or just keep updating them, you know, keep check in the weights, mm-hmm. have a read of your manual every so often, just to make sure everything's installed correctly.
Well, yeah, and the other advantage now as well is, you know, there's YouTube and other channels like that, you know, that you can look at actual sort of videos of installs, etc., to help also explain a little bit better seeing the product rather than just reading a manual. So always read the manual, as you say, but there's extra information available to help with install and other tips for using the product. So certainly worthwhile, especially before baby's born. That is one thing I would always do. Don't leave it to the last minute to have a go at fitting your seat. Have a good practice well before baby comes, because you can do that in the daylight without any pressure. You can be comfortable with it well before you actually have to put your own very precious cargo into it on the day of arrival.
Yeah, that's a great tip, actually, is do it before the baby comes, because you might think in your head, oh, it's fine, I'll just clip it in. But then when you actually try and do it, as a new mum especially, you're carrying loads of stuff. If you're coming from hospital, you'll have loads of stuff. You'll have this new baby. Just practice beforehand. Mm-hmm. It's one thing you can do to prep yourself, is just practice the car seat. That's amazing advice.
Yeah, and the thing with car seats, of course, as well is sometimes a misconception that, well, they're easy to install. They are once you know how.
Once you know how,
20, 30 seconds, you can have a seat, whether it's belted or ISOFIX, you can have it installed in the car. But it does take practice to get to be that fast to install them. But, get into the habit as well of checking the seats installed, ideally each time you load the little one in. Even ISOFIX, you know, once it's in there, there's extra, security on the locks, etc., to prevent accidental tampering by, say, another toddler. But you never know. Somebody may have had a press of the button. So every time you load the child in, if you give the seat a little wiggle, it ensures that everything is still correct. And of course, you've got the visual indicators with ISOFIX. If it's a belted seat, no visual indicators. So watch the read the manual, watch the videos, but most importantly, get into the habit of checking that the seatbelt is still tight for every single journey. And personally, I recommend a flick check. So the lap belt section, of course, that is the beginning of the vehicle seat belt. If that's loose, you know the rest of it's loose. So get into the habit of load the child in, flick that lap belt, and if it's tight enough you can make a noise on it, play whatever tune you want, I don't mind. But so long as it's tight enough you can flick it, you know then that the seat's still correctly installed as you last sort of left it.
Oh, Damon, thank you so much for coming on the show today. And I felt like I have learned so much from this conversation. And also thank you, Joy, for letting us borrow you and squeeze all of your knowledge out of you as well. Thank you so much.
No trouble. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
It's been an absolute pleasure. And hopefully, when Joy come up with more products in the future, hopefully we can have you back on to talk about new things that's happening as well, because it's been so informative. So thank you so much, Damon.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Have a lovely afternoon.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye. This podcast has been made with our friends at Joy, the number one brand for safe and stylish car seats. Shop online at joybaby.com. For ongoing support and advice on everything from pregnancy to the toddler years, visit emmasdiary.co.uk or download the Emma's Diary app, available on Apple Store and Google Play Store.